This morning we are continuing our Lenten series as we look at the book of Job and try to relate to his hardships and tribulations, his trials. Today we are going to read from the book of Job, chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. And this is the word of God from the book of Job. While he was still speaking, yet another messenger came and said, "Your sons and daughters were feasting and drinking wine at the oldest brother's house, when suddenly a mighty wind swept in from the desert and struck the four corners of the house. It collapsed on them and they are dead. And I am the only one who has escaped to tell you." And let us now turn to the New Testament, to the Gospel of John, chapter 11, verses 17 to 27. In this chapter, in the Gospel of John, the Gospel writer is describing the raising of Lazarus. And this is one sequence in that story, from verses 17 to 27. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha answered, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she told him. "I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who was to come into the world." May God bless the reading of his word, that through his Spirit he might work his comfort in our hearts. Amen. Let us pray. Triumphant Lord Jesus Christ, yours the glory and the crown, the high renown, the eternal name. Lord Jesus, we give you thanks that you are a living Savior to whom we can come in our finite strength, in our vulnerability, in our pains and sorrows, in our grief and bereavement. And Lord, we give you thanks that you are indeed the resurrection and the life, in whom we have our hope, our strength, our life eternal. Lord, help us to open our hearts before your word today, allowing your Holy Spirit to work your comfort, your consolation and your peace in our hearts and in our lives, that in all times, hardships and tribulations, grief and bereavement, we'll be able to look upon you and see that victory you have won over death. And this we pray in your eternal name. Amen. For the last few weeks, we were following the trials of Job, and we tried to relate our own experiences to his experiences. How would we react in similar circumstances? And we have seen so far that Job's trials were many and hard. Gradually, but he was losing everything. Everything happened so suddenly. When he received the bad report, that servant couldn't even finish the account. The next servant was coming in with further bad news. Everything happened so quickly that so far Job had no chance even to react to these venues. And now comes the fourth trial. And this is the hardest so far. Because the first three trials really touched on his property, on objects that he owned, things that he could replace, things without which he might be able to live. But now, this messenger is bringing the very sad news that his loved ones, all of his children, all 10 of them, died suddenly and tragically. And this is irreplaceable when a life is lost. It is far harder to cope with this than with the previous hardships and tribulations. And it is good for us to realize and notice that in the case of the first three incidences, although they are tragic, but they might avoid us. Because thanks be to God, not necessarily are we going to become victims of violence or vandalism. We might not necessarily suffer because of a natural disaster or become victims of war. But this fourth one, bereavement, is a universal experience. Nobody can avoid it. And surely it will come if it did not come into our lives. And bereavement and grief is so upsetting, so painful. C.S. Lewis, in his book, A Grief Observed, when he tried to cope with his own deep grief, he writes that bereavement is like fear. Not that he was afraid particularly of something. It was just that sort of sensation of being afraid and unsettled, helpless and weak and completely disoriented, afraid of the past and afraid of the future. And somehow the mind and the heart are just racing to find somewhere some kind of consolation, some kind of comfort, some peace, a solid ground where you can stand because you feel that everything is just running away under your feet. You just want not to be afraid, some kind of explanation that would bring some peace and hope. The fear that although you remember all that happened on that particular day, but you're afraid that you will forget it. And you just try to reach out. Or maybe the opposite, turning inside, hiding from others. All these contradicting emotions are there and burdening the heart and the soul. I remember when my father passed away very suddenly and very unexpectedly. It's going to be 22 years now this year. He was just home for lunch and went back to the office, to the church headquarters. That was just one story above us. And as soon as he arrived there to his desk, he collapsed and died. I just could not stay at home. I just couldn't bear it. And I'm afraid I wasn't a great help and support to my mom. I had to get out and see someone, not a family member, maybe a friend, to talk to him. And I traveled on the tramways in the city for hours, and I just couldn't find a friend. They were all on holiday. That sort of restlessness, that fear, that sadness, that anger and loneliness, weakness, it's like a whirlwind picking you up, and you're just afraid that it will dash you somewhere. It's just overwhelming. And you would like to undo what happened. You would love to reverse the whole thing. And you're questioning God. Why did you not do anything about this? Why did you not prevent it? You could do it. You are the sovereign Lord of the whole universe. You have the power. You have the love to do so. And you didn't do anything. That was Martha's quiet complaint and criticism to Jesus too. You could have stopped this, but you were not here. Why did you not stop all this? And indeed, God is able to stop the death of an individual. He has the power and the sovereign authority to do so. But that would be just a postponement of the pain, of the sadness, of the suffering, of the death. Lazarus, Martha, and Mary, they had to go through the same thing again later. And I doubt it had been any easier for them. For there is never a right time to die. God didn't stop the death of Lazarus that time. And he's not stopping the death of an individual, because he had done something greater. He had done something more astonishing. He really reached to the root of the whole issue, to death itself. He abolished it. He crushed it once for all. He took out of its sting. He sent His one and only Son into this world to deal with sin, to take all the sin of this world upon Himself. And as a result of that, die for those sins. But because He Himself was sinless, death had no grip on Him, could not hold Him down, and death had to let Him go. And this is our hope. And this is the comfort and consolation for us. This is what Jesus says to Martha. I am the resurrection and the life. This is not a teaching. This is not a doctrine. This is not a theory or philosophy. The reality of resurrection, the one who came back from death, who will come back from death, is standing before you. And whoever believes in Him will never die. Because I live, you will live also, said Jesus. And in this particular period of Lent, as we look ahead to Holy Week, we see death there too. There's Good Friday, when the Son of God is suffering in agony and dying on the cross. There is Holy Saturday, when everything is dark and in sorrow and grief. But Holy Week did not end there. There came Easter, when the tomb was empty and the Son of God rose from the dead, alive, glorious, and victorious. This is our hope. Holding unto Him who was dead, but now is alive, our living Savior who defeated death. I'm afraid we cannot avoid grief, but holding unto our Jesus, who died for our sins, we can gain the strength to pass through grief. May He give you that comfort, that peace, and strength now and evermore. Let us pray. Oh God Almighty, we find it so hard and so difficult to cope with loss. We find it so hard even to speak about it. Lord, we can't even imagine how hard and painful it had been for You in the heavenly realm and glory to look down on earth to that point there in Jerusalem, just outside of it, there on Golgotha, where Your one and only Son was suffering and dying the death of a sinful man. Yet He was without sin. And Lord, what a marvelous, what an amazing victory that was over death. Lord, we give You thanks that Jesus took out the sting of death. That because of Him, we should not be afraid of death. So Lord, we pray in our grief and bereavement, in our sadness, to be close to us. To grant us Your peace and help us as our mind and heart is racing to find some consolation. Lord, please be there on our side and give us strength. Give us Your comfort. Put the words of the gospel into our hearts. Put the power of Your Holy Spirit that assures us of life eternal and the resurrection to be our comfort and solid rock. Lord, we pray today especially for those who lost a loved one in this past week. Lord, we remember the relatives of those who died during that awful accident in Bahrain just the other day. Lord, we pray that You will on their side. May they know Your strength and power. That strength that not only can comfort, but bring life out of you. Lord, be with those within our congregation who are struggling with grief. So often we are lost for words, what to say and how to comfort them. But we pray that You will give us a compassionate heart to listen to them and to be at their side. This way showing Your love, Your concern and Your compassion to them. Lord, be with those who are ill at this time. Those who are approaching to the end of their earthly lives. Give them Your strength. Give them Your assurance of the life that is to come for all those who love and believe in the Son of God. And we pray all this in His name and for His sake, who taught us to join our hearts and lips as we say His prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.